Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Hey, everybody. Welcome again to the Growing in Grace podcast. Joel Mrzycki here. Mike Kapler there in our finally furnished studio that we bought with all of your donations, all of your millions and millions of dollars in donations. Yes. We got this nice studio.
Donate now and it will double, by the way.
Yes. We're taking matching donations.
What's zero times zero?
Zero times zero. As long as it's not zero divided by zero, that would be a quandary, because you can't do that. Nothing divided by nothing. But yeah, we were joking a little. Well, we got on here to record, and we've been talking for about 50 minutes before we, about all kinds of stuff. Some of it not podcast related, and some of it podcast related. But we were talking about, you know, some people have a nice studio to do their podcast in. But no secret to our listeners that I'm in my home. Cap is in his home. And when we started years ago, almost 20 years ago, which, by the way, in a couple of weeks, we'll be celebrating 20 years and our thousandth podcast. Sometimes, I guess at the beginning, you would be up at the radio station that we used to work at, and I would call you. And we would record that way. And then for a short time, I was up there and you were at your home. Then we got microphones and the internet has helped a great deal. So no posh, wonderful studio. just our computers and mics.
It works, though. I mean,
it works.
That's a blessing. So, yes. Yeah, you're right. I mean, at the radio station, we had a separate speakerphone, not a speakerphone. Well, the phone may have had a speakerphone built into it, but we had a separate one.
Right.
It was connected to the phone, and I just put the microphone in front of that speakerphone and start the recording on the software. And yeah, boy, 20 years ago, we've come a long way since then, haven't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we were. So technically, we would have been using the same microphone, because you would have been talking, and because you didn't have a separate microphone for the phone, right? For the phone.
I think that sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds right. Because I kind of remember doing that too. Yeah. Yeah, we've come a long way, and it's been good. We'll talk more about that perhaps in a couple weeks on our thousandth podcast. But you ready to get into it?
I'm ready.
Okay. Yeah. The last few weeks, we've been talking about some really good stuff. Last week, the prodigal son. Man, I just really like your take on that. You've shared that a lot over the years. We've talked about it together. You know, the prodigal son, the younger brother, he was far off when his father saw him. Same word that's used in Ephesians 2, describing the Gentiles who were far off. And we who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Through nothing that we've done, just like the younger brother, he didn't do anything to get himself, quote, back into the grace of his father. His father just worried that he was dead. You know, he thought his son was dead, and he was just joyful and full of joy, and he rejoiced to see his son. He ran to him and fully embraced him, fully accepted him. The older brother wasn't all that happy about that. Hey, I've been here. I've been doing the stuff, man. I've been faithful and doing all this good stuff, and you're throwing a party for him. And this was likened to how the Jews would have seen the entrance of the Gentiles into the gospel. God accepting Gentiles. They were far off. They were the dogs. They were the pigs. They were the ones who were far off. God didn't want anything to do with them. Oh, wait a second. Yes, he did. He brought them in by the blood of Jesus. And so we were talking about how God, his love for all of mankind is what this was all about, really. God so loved the world, not just the Jewish world. Yes, he loved his people, Israel, But he also loved the rest of the world. And that was something that was hard for people to accept. And I think Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he was sharing the gospel with his fellow Jews, he had... Let's try to put ourselves in his shoes. I mean, it's difficult for us because none of us who are alive today have ever been a Jew in the sense that Paul was. And Paul, in Philippians 3, he lists his credentials. He lists this. I don't think there's anyone listening who could ever say this. Paul says, like, if Paul could have confidence in his flesh, you know, in front of God, if he could stand in front of God, he could say, and this is Philippians 3, verse 5, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And I think a lot of his fellow Jews, when they heard him say that, would have gone, yes, yes, yay, Paul, right on. That's our standing with God. We've got all these things for us. We're of the stock of Israel. We're of this tribe or that tribe. We're Hebrews of Hebrews. And we're seeking righteousness from the law. But Paul turns things around here in Philippians 3, verse 7, and says, but what things were gained to me. So Paul considered these things as gain previously, but these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. You know, Paul went through a lot. And count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. Think about that. All these years, you know, 1,500 years of Israel, the people of Israel, pursuing righteousness by the works of the law. And many of them thinking they were doing pretty well. And then Paul comes around and says, that's rubbish. We're counting that as rubbish. That's dung. It's junk. You throw it away. You got to throw that away so that you can have the real righteousness, which is from God by faith. And that was something that was hard for the Jewish people to accept for themselves, never mind these lowly Gentiles who weren't even pursuing the law in the first place.
Well, you're right about that. The Gentiles, really, for the most part, were not familiar with the law. They weren't pursuing the law. As you said, they were far off. They were without hope, without God, without a covenant, until a new covenant was established, and it would change everything. And Paul basically saying, if anybody could boast in the flesh, it's probably me. But that's not something really anybody can do effectively in truth. But some of you who are doing the boasting, I could outdo you. But it came down to what you were just covering there at the end, found in him, found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. In other words, it's not by what we do, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness, which is from God by faith. And then he goes on, that I may know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. I think sometimes we today, well, it doesn't matter if you're on the legalistic side of the fence or the grace side or maybe somewhere in between with some sort of mixed batch of both. Well, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I think people get more hung up on just trying to prove their doctrine and to prove who's right and who's wrong. And we're the right ones, they're the wrong ones. And the proper interpretation, sound doctrine, the whole counsel of God, all that stuff. All the talking points that you want to pull out of the little Bible verses that you want to focus in on. But Paul came down to saying, I want to count all of that as garbage, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And so this is kind of a big deal. As he was touting some of his credentials, as a Jew who at one time so zealous for the law that he persecuted the church. Believers in Christ were dying until he came to see the light, literally, so to speak, mm-hmm. when he was confronted by Jesus Christ himself. And I think sometimes too, Joel, that we assume that the apostles, even somebody like Paul, and I know even we grace people can put Paul on a pedestal sometimes. He's just a man. Mm-hmm. And we have discussed this before in our podcast over the last 20 years, I guess. But there's no reason to think that he and other apostles, or any other human being for that matter, who is a believer in Christ, regardless of whatever supernatural experiences they encountered, there's no reason to think that Paul wasn't also growing in his understanding of this gospel.
Right.
And was perhaps even becoming more bold as time went on. Because, I like you said, it's difficult for us to understand as people who weren't Jewish, especially even if you are a Jew today, to be a Jew in the way that Paul was a Jew back at that time, it's quite different. And so it's very difficult for us here a couple of thousand years later to be the armchair quarterback and look back and think that we understand it all. But I just think that perhaps it's possible somebody like Paul was growing in his boldness, growing in his understanding. It was a tricky thing. There were a lot of balls to juggle. And for him to just go out right off the bat and start telling Jewish people that they're freed from the law, that they've been redeemed from the law, that they're no longer under the law, you know, some of that, there was some juggling of the balls that would have to take place there. You had to kind of walk on eggshells a little bit, depending on the situation, because it was a tricky thing. Because if somebody was giving other people the impression or implication that even something maybe as bold as saying you as a Jew are no longer under the law, that might have been, at least in the minds of some even believing Jews, that might have been grounds for death.
Yeah.
You had to be careful about what you said negatively about the law. And it's not that the law was the problem, as Paul pointed out himself. The law wasn't the problem. The law was holy, just, and good, but it couldn't bring people what they needed. That's why even the Jewish people needed to be delivered from that and brought into something that could give them life, which was, of course, the source of life, Jesus Christ.
Right, and that's really what Paul was pointing to. That really was his aim and his goal, and I think that's one reason why he was so big on why he did, like you say, grew in boldness. Why he grew in boldness over time about this message of being dead to the law, that the people of Israel had to die to the law in order to be joined together with Christ. If you were going to remain in the law or under the law, then you couldn't be joined to Christ. There was a big difference there. It was big. This really was big stuff. And it was something that was very different than what the people had experienced. And you see him, like you said, walking on eggshells, having to confront his fellow Jews or try to persuade his fellow Jews or try to reason with them. I mean, I think there are different ways that you see it written about how he dealt with his fellow Jews. And I wasn't really going to go here, but I look ahead several decades after the cross into Acts 21, when Paul had come to Jerusalem again, and James and the elders had come to him and said, "You see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law." So that in and of itself, you can see myriads of Jews, and again, decades later, decades after the cross, and these Jews have believed and they're all zealous for the law, but they have been informed that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, nor to walk according to the customs. And this is what they wanted. This is what James and the elders wanted Paul to do. This is what they said. "Therefore, do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Take them and be purified with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads and that all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing." In other words, Paul, we want you to lie. You know, you've been telling these Jews who are among the Gentiles that they can forsake Moses, that they don't need to be circumcised. Just tell them that's nothing. Tell them that's not true. And tell them that you yourself, quote, also walk orderly and keep the law. So I bring that all up to say that there was a lot of division in those early years and decades of the church, and Paul had to deal with this. And Paul had to be bold. Paul had to grow in boldness because the gospel is not you must walk orderly and keep the law. It is not you still have to be circumcised. The gospel, as Paul said in Philippians 3, that is all dung. That's all rubbish. You've got to count that as loss in order to be joined to Christ and to have this everlasting life that he talks about. That it's hard for us to put ourselves in those shoes, but it's really what Paul had to deal with for it, really his entire life after Christ grabbed a hold of him and built him up into the one person who would write 2/3 of what we know as the New Testament scriptures.
Isn't that something? Having been told what he was told there. And this is kind of getting later in their lives,
right?
Maybe not all that long before these people like Paul and James would eventually die. But you keep the law, Paul. Tell them that you walk orderly and keep the law. I don't know how it is that even grace people can miss this. I'm just being honest here. Even though I probably missed it for quite a few years myself, like a lot of things,
me
right?
Too. Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of hard for me to get away from it now. It's just like somebody said, once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's kind of like the Sermon on the Mount. We were taught for years, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7, was a new Christian teaching. And, you know, once you begin to see that that wasn't what Jesus was doing with his Jewish disciples as he spoke with them during those passages, you begin to see that he was basically just trying to show them, you can't do the law. You need something else. But it's tough. You know, it's tough to make those transitions to a different paradigm, because Paul explained the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant in Galatians 3 and 4 especially, and told them that, look, Jewish people who've been under that guardian, under that law, have been redeemed from it. They are no longer under the guardian because faith came, the seed came. And so that doesn't mean that people go out and don't walk orderly, or they just go out and try to murder people and have adultery and steal and all of that stuff. It doesn't mean, just because you're not under the law doesn't mean you go out and try to do the wrong things.
Right.
But that was the battleground, and we see it throughout Paul's writings, and I think it gets missed frequently by people who are just scanning verses. And trying to make those verses fit their ideology.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And you know, I don't know if we'll have more to say on this or not next week or not, but I'll just wrap up with it's one thing to, you know, Paul had used the phrase, I've become all things to all people that I may win some. It's one thing to put yourself in a position here and there to try to win some, but what was going on in Jerusalem here with James and the elders, for decades, they were withholding what Paul was preaching. They were not telling the people to die to the law. These Jews who were zealous for the law, they weren't telling them that the gospel is that you count that as dung. They were going right along with it. That's not becoming all things to all people. That's going along with a different gospel that is really no gospel at all. And so Paul had to stand up to this again for years and years, especially when he came to Jerusalem. He really had to deal with this. So I guess the bottom line here is that the gospel is what Paul had said in Philippians 3, counting all that stuff as dung, as rubbish, so that he could lay a hold of Christ and have righteousness, which is not by the law, not by works, but righteousness, which is God's gift.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.